Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Let's welcome back Jim Barrier.
I thought of this right at the last minute. If you ever watched Sesame Street or any of those shows, there was a character that was a lot of fun, the Swedish chef.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was part of the Muppets. Was he on Sesame Street, too? I know he was on the Muppets. Well, there was crossover because they used Muppets on Sesame Street, too.
They did. And he would say things like, they're goofing, they're flirky, stupid, they're bork, 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 you betcha. So what we're going to talk about tonight, there is a phrase that is regaining popularity. It's been around a while, but it's really come to the front now. Word salad. Okay, here's what it is right out of the dictionary. It's a symptom or neurological psychiatric condition in which a person attempts to communicate an idea, but the words and phrases may appear to be random and unrelated and come out in incoherent sequence instead. And often the person is unaware that he or she did not make sense. And so there's just an awful lot of this right now. And tonight we're going to give a little time to my favorite word salad, Swedish chef, Chef Kamala Harris.
Yeah, she's a prize, isn't she?
Oh, my God. So this is a very recent one. And
you got to hand it to her. She is keeping Joe Biden in office because they want to get rid of him, but then they know they would get her.
I just wonder if there wasn't some method to that madness to have somebody that looks even worse than him or sounds worse than him.
It keeps people like Bernie Sanders running the country from behind the scenes. And, of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, man, she's another one. I didn't even bring any of her stuff tonight, but we could maybe look some up later.
She's every bit as dumb, but she at least knows what she believes. She believes in socialism. Now, she wouldn't be able to defend it for the life of her, and she doesn't live it, and she's a hypocrite. But Joe and Kamala, they just wanted to be in public office. They don't really care what they believe or what's true. So at least with Ocasio-Cortez, she has some ideologies.
Yeah. I think Joe is just believes in keeping his job, which he's done very well for a long time now, closing in on 50 years of being a public servant.
Yeah, and there's absolutely nothing that he's accomplished in Washington that's been good. Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he voted on some post office once or something, but nothing to speak of.
Well, you know, he kept his job, so that's kept unemployment down by a count of one. So, you know, you got to give him that. But I think you are as surprised as I am in some of the recent rulings of the Supreme Court, because both of us have had our doubts. Even when they put supposed conservative justices on the bench, we've wondered if they would actually get anything done. And they've made a couple of rulings recently that were pleasantly a surprise.
Yeah, there was one they just ruled on the border, which I didn't like, but I have to go along with you for the most part. There have been several that have been very pleasant surprises.
Yeah, you know, on the Roe v. Wade thing, and then they've made some rulings on gun control, Second Amendment things, and so far they're surprising me. They're making some good decisions. Now, how long those will hold up, or people will find a way to skirt the law, but it's a good thing. It's good news to me that we've actually had a couple of good rulings from this Supreme Court. And so, in response to a very recent ruling, the Roe v. Wade, we've talked about, I'm sure you talked about it on the show, it's been big news. They didn't overturn what really has happened is people are going to have to go back to the states, and it will be the state's decision.
Well, they did overturn Roe versus Wade because Roe versus Wade technically took it away from the states. What they didn't do was make a ruling about the unborn fetus being alive.
Yeah, right. Well said. Now, so that's better than nothing.
Oh, that's for sure.
But this is the vice president's response. Here it goes. She says, I think that, to be very honest with you, I do believe that we should have rightly believed. But we certainly believe that certain issues are just settled. Certain issues are just settled. Okay.
Jim, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. That brought a tear to my eye. I couldn't have said that better myself.
You know, it sounds like an old Norm Crosby routine. Remember him, the comedian?
His
words on the, except he was doing that on purpose to get a laugh. She's actually, I think, trying to be serious, or I don't know. And so that's the kind of thing that we're getting from the vice president. And
hey, haven't they learned in Washington that when somebody speaks in tongues, there's supposed to be an interpretation?
Oh, man, I hadn't thought of that. I might use that on a podcast. That's good. For years during the Obama administration, when I'd come on a show and you used to do a thing very regularly, you would have a quote from then Vice President Biden. And you'd play the theme from Superman for Otis. And I loved that theme because he was just kind of a goofy, dumpy person. And you'd play that music. And then we'd have a quote by Joe Biden. We're going to have to find something to give honor to the new vice president because she's just as goofy as he was when he was in that role. Why they turn these people loose in front of microphones is beyond me. But we're going to just look at some of the chef's word salad. Now, here's another one. These things are just, they're too good to be true. This is Vice President Harris. It is time for us to do what we have been doing. And that time is every day. Every day is the time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us. We have definitely extended the, it's something that I think we need to keep doing, awareness about what we have to do. And I can follow up with you on specifically what we've been doing.
That is the best defense for the liberal policies in Washington that I've ever heard, Jim.
Yeah, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
And boy, are they ever.
It's time for us to do what we've been doing. And I can follow up with you specifically on what we've been doing. Is that, that's her version.
Yeah, do unto that. Others before they do unto you.
Oh, my, she's doing it. This is amazing stuff. This is the person who's one heartbeat away from the Oval Office. There's the seriousness to this. I'm going to make fun of people all night long here, but the seriousness is she is one heartbeat away from being the president of this country.
Yeah, it reminds me of an episode of Cheers where Frasier had a dream that Woody became president. And then, oh, we saw this nuclear holocaust go off, and then he woke up screaming.
I might take Woody over what we've got, but this is laughable. This stuff is ridiculous, but it's also really, really serious.
I would take Woody over either one of them combined.
Yeah, yeah. I liked Coach, actually, you know. He got hit in the head with a baseball a lot.
Yeah, but at least that was explained, and at least the guy wasn't pure evil. Yeah. It's not just that Biden's inept, it's that he's also a pathological liar.
Yeah, and our friend Steve Hesselbeck texted me earlier this evening about some stuff going on, and he mailed it. He said, it is, it's just pure evil what's going on. And so
Does he mean California or the whole country?
Well, talking about Biden, the things that he's doing, the policies, the stuff that he's doing to take this country down. And so I am having a little levity tonight, but I want the audience to know that I am very, very concerned. And it's frightening, to tell you the truth, the things that these people are doing.
Well, enjoy your levity and take your shots at Washington while it's still legal, because you know the new saying is that words like ours are the real violence, but those that go out and commit real violence and vandalism and beat people up, that's just democracy in action. That's just the First Amendment. But those of us who speak against it, that's the real violence. And Jim, there are idiots out there believing this stuff.
That's what's terrifying. And enough of them to vote for those people to make it close enough for them to steal the election. Yes, I said it. I still believe that the election was stolen. And
even if we didn't want to look at the data, the very fact that that baboon got into office legitimately, who believes that? Who takes it seriously? His campaign managers and strategists wouldn't even let him out of the basement. There's no way. That's all the evidence we need. Now, as it happens, we have tons of evidence, but that would really be all any thinking person should need.
Well, unfortunately, and I know people who believe that he won the election. They believe he won it legitimately. Now,
I call him our duly selected president.
Well, that's what I said right after the thing. I was on the show, and I said, listen, Biden stole the election fair and square. And so that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Okay, let's go back to the chef here and see what kind of thing she's tossed in the bowl for us. We have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been. and then to make the possible actually happen. That sounds like something out of Star Trek.
That sounds like somebody that if you're on your way somewhere and you have to stop for directions, that sounds like somebody that you want to get some directions from, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then we're back to the Scarecrow. Can't you make up your mind? Well, I haven't got a brain.
We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And we're talking about word salad prepared by Chef Kamala. Now, you know, I'm a sports fan, and I grew up a baseball fan. I've always been a baseball fan. Though Brandon and I were talking before the show. I have to apologize to anybody who happened to watch the Padres the other night in their cotton candy pink and green uniforms. It was just, it was embarrassing.
Now, was that supposed to be some kind of message, LGBTQ? Was it supposed to bring about the rainbow or something?
They said that it's supposed to represent also Baja California and Tijuana, since they have a lot of fans
down
there,
okay.
Too. But you're stretching at that point.
Well, if that's all they were doing, that's fine, but it sounds a little suspicious.
Well, it looked terrible, that's all. So, but being a baseball
makes you want to go out and get some pistachio ice cream.
Yeah, that it did make me hungry. I grew up hearing quotes by a particular Yankee, New York Yankee, Yogi Berra, Lawrence Yogi Berra. And he was famous for his malaprops. In fact, he put books out. One of his books was titled, I Didn't Say All Those Things I Always Said.
Now, the cartoon character Yogi Bear, was he supposed to be a takeoff of Yogi Berra, or was that just a coincidence that their names sounded the same?
No, just the name. They took the name. They stole the name, obviously. But Yogi Bear, the cartoon character, was much more clever.
Smarter than the average bear. Hello, Mr. Ranger, sir.
And Yogi was a great baseball player, and he was a great manager. He learned this stuff from a guy named Casey Stengel, who was really the master of that language. Casey just butchered the English language, and Yogi grew up under that and learned from him. Anyway, I hear these things from the vice president, and I think Yogi made more sense than she does. So let's look at some more of our favorite quotes from Chef Kamala. Now, this was after the war broke out in Russia and Ukraine, and so if it's possible for Kamala Harris to dumb down something, I don't know if that's even possible. But here's how she explained it so that all of us could understand what was going on. She said, Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia.
This is pretty good stuff, Joe.
There's more. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is powerful. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
This is like grade school. See, spot, run. Run, spot, run.
But the whole thing is so stupid. I mean, even if you take the whole thing, just because Russia has a larger landmass than Ukraine, doesn't mean anything. Germany was a very small country and was trying to take over the world. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called the Ukraine. And basically, that's wrong.
I'm so glad she's here to explain these things to us, Jim.
Well, that's the most lucid thing that I've ever heard her say, but it was worthless. It was dumb. But, hey, you know, she did have a grasp on the situation.
Well, I'm surprised she even knew where the countries were located.
I think someone briefed her or she looked at a map or something.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about the White House briefings before they talked.
Well, you know, if it weren't for teleprompters, most of these guys would be in big trouble.
Well, remember when they found some of Joe Biden's instructions and he was instructed at a certain point to sit down?
Yeah. But it's been going a long time. There were an awful lot of clips that you probably, they've taken them down by now, but there were a lot of video clips and sound bites on YouTube when Obama was president. And when the teleprompter went out, he started babbling. He didn't know what to do. And let's be fair.
Oh, and he used the word corpsman instead of corpsman. I remember that one.
Yeah. But Bush wasn't really any better. He misremembered things, and he really butchered.
Well, we all make mistakes, but the way the media went after Bush and the free passes they give to Obama, now they're starting to turn on Biden because it's just gotten so embarrassing they don't know what to do anymore.
I think that the media and the liberals are turning on him because they're afraid he's going to lose everything.
Well, and like we always say, if it's a legitimate election, he absolutely will. Now, of course, they're planning on cheating again. That may be harder with the midterms because a lot of states are going back now and reclaiming their constitutional laws. They may have a harder time getting away with it. You know, he'll get elected in states like California. And of course, we're talking about different people running for Congress in different states and areas. I think we probably will take back the House and the Senate. What's going to happen in the next presidential election with all the cheating? That's anybody's guess.
Who knows? Now, you remember a president several administrations back, not my favorite guy, William Jefferson Clinton. And do you remember his campaign, what his whole motto was? It's the economy, stupid.
Yeah, that was what they were saying to Bush Sr. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's what he ran on.
That was their mantra. That was their mantra. And here's the deal right now. All the polls that are making the things, the Americans on both sides, both parties, they aren't as concerned about abortion. They aren't as concerned about gun rights. They're concerned about the economy, inflation, gas. What's gas right there in San Diego right now?
Here in San Diego, it was over $6 a gallon. It's gone down to like $5.90 a gallon. There's other places in California where it's way higher than that, though.
Well, and that's what you said. It's gone down to...
It went down a tiny little bit. Biden made some kind of gesture about opening up our oil reserves. But then he goes and he sells a lot of it to other foreign countries again.
He's just trying to grease the wheel.
He gave some of it to China. Talk about greasing the wheel, but it's more like greasing the palm. Something's going on with him and China and Hunter. They're beholding to China. And that's not the only country they're beholding to.
No. But the point is, inflation, the economy, those are the things that people are upset about, concerned about, and they're going to vote because of that. They're going to vote based on that. You know, when you said it's down to... the high $5.90s is below $6 a gallon. And I heard somebody recently, he said something like, gas has gone way down. And I said, do you remember what it was a little over a year ago?
Well, yeah, it's the old go four steps forward and then go two steps backwards. So we think we're getting a bargain.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of that mentality. And I think most Americans, when they go fill up their gas tank, they're freaking out. They're saying, we can't afford this. Those are the ones that have jobs.
No, it's a strategy to keep us from driving our cars. They want to get us off of gasoline because we're going to save the planet. It's just one of many things on their idiot agenda.
Yeah, you know, that plan doesn't have a lot of chance of working unless they can get the entire world community to submit to their will. That doesn't seem to be the way things are going.
They don't have any plan on it working. What their plan is to use that as an excuse to crash our capitalistic system and put us under a socialist dictatorship. That's the plan. Now, I'm not saying that's Joe's plan or Kamala's plan, because I don't think they're smart enough to have a plan. But the puppeteers, the Geppettos pulling the strings from behind the curtain, that's their plan.
You know, a few years ago, I would have called that conspiracy lunacy. But now...
it's just a fact. It's just...
I know.
It's like they went through a list of 20 things you can do to destroy America, and they're just checking off the list.
Do it all.
Close down our borders, outlaw the Second Amendment, also defund the police, and then let the criminals out of jail without bail.
It's crazy.
A third grader would know that would destroy our country.
It's like a bad sci-fi film. So let's get back to our chef. This is touching. When we talk about the children of the community, they are children of the community. I couldn't do it without laughing. Let me read that again. When we talk about the children of the community, they are children of the community.
Wait, I'm trying to write this down.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know if anybody writes this stuff. I don't know.
Anybody that writes that for her would have been fired by now. I have to believe it's just coming out of her own mouth. Who could get paid to write that dribble? Who could get paid to write that?
I don't know. I don't think they have to fire anybody. People are just bailing right and left. They're all quitting their jobs in that administration. Okay, here's my favorite. This was a while back. She's touring a library. She says, the governor and I were all doing a tour of the library here and talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in our lives of our children and what that means to the future of our nation, depending on whether or not they have the resources they need to achieve their God-given talent.
Well, the significant passage of time I'm looking for is 2024. It could not come soon enough. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
All right. Now, can we get back? I don't know if I can even circle back.
Well, circle back, as the Biden press secretary likes to say.
Now, the last quote that I want to get from the vice president, and our friend Steve Hesselbeck sent me this for the show tonight, and she said, we've got to take this stuff seriously, as seriously as you are, because you have been forced to take this seriously. I can't even take that seriously.
It staggers the imagination.
It may be very, very deep and profound, and maybe it's just over my head. I don't know, because it's hard for me to take this.
Well, I think it's over her head that she's even trying to give a speech.
I think she's in over her head, perhaps.
Putting it mildly.
And speaking of circling back, now we had a lot of fun with Jen Psaki because she's about as palatable as room temperature rice wine is to me. And I just made that up.
Very good, Jim.
Now, for instance, she was asked, what does the administration consider your biggest achievement in foreign policy this year? Also, what lessons have you learned from what is arguably the biggest failure, which was Afghanistan? This is her answer. You know, this is a great question. I want to be thoughtful about it. I want to go talk to the president about it, and I'm happy to do that. Go ahead. That was her answer.
So she's asking us to believe she's going to get some thoughts and some serious thinking from Biden?
But she was about... that was probably her last press conference. She was about to resign, but yeah. I love that she doesn't really answer the question, and then she says, go ahead.
That's a great question. Do we have another question?
Yeah. In other words, I don't really like that question. I don't like that question. And so maybe she should have circled back.
But you have to feel sorry for her. She had to get up there every day and defend the indefensible. It could not have been an easy job.
Well, who would take it? Well,
she did.
She left. They found somebody new. Oh, my. Karine Jean-Pierre. That's such a great name. It's almost like Jean-Luc Picard. and because they both are space cadets. And so I'm out of control tonight.
That's a great name for a pet cat, I always thought. Jean-Luc. Wouldn't that be a great name for a pet cat? I don't know. My mind just wandered.
I liked him on the old TV series. I was trying to watch the new one. And I got partly.
I never even watched it because I assumed it's going to be woke and politically correct, and I just wasn't in the mood for it. But I loved the Next Generation series.
It is, but more than that, it was just tired. He was tired. He looked tired. The concept is tired.
Yeah, remakes and bringing people back, it's never usually a good idea.
Well, they keep on making money. And Star Trek and Star Wars, they just keep cranking them out because it's
cash cows.
The cash cow. So here we have the new press secretary. Now, she was off to a bad start. This was her first time up there, and she said, the president has been very clear in making sure that he does everything he can to alleviate the pain that American families are feeling.
Ooh, Freudian slip. She accidentally spoke the truth.
Yeah, it was. It was an honest mistake. But still, right out, you thought, oh, gosh. Here we go. We got rid of one, and now we got another one that's just as much fun. Now, here, these are some real interviews that have taken place already since she's been the press secretary. Don Lemon, one of your favorites, I'm sure, asked whether the 79-year-old commander-in-chief could handle another grueling presidential campaign. Yeah, grueling in the base.
Well, if it was as grueling as his last campaign, he could handle it, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But he was trying to ask an honest question, and she answered, "That is not a question that we should even be asking." Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. He's the president of the United States, you know. I can't even keep up with him. We just got back from New Mexico. We just got back from California. I don't know which one it was. Just look at the work that he does.
Jim, he probably thought they were taking him to Disneyland.
I don't know. But just look at the work that he does, and look what how he's delivering for the American public.
That's well, I will say this. He has worked very hard to destroy this country.
Well, that's apparently not how Corrine sees it. But, and she goes on this topic, that's not what we care about. We care about how are we going to deliver for the American people? How are we going to make their lives better?
I've always felt that phrase, the American people, should just be retired. I hate when politicians say, we're doing this for the American people. It's very tiresome.
But it strikes a note, and it hits people at a sentimental level.
It hits me in a completely different way. Okay, we're going to hit a break, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh, as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
We will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action.
We just thought we should hear from the sweetheart herself, Jim.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'd forgotten.
Just in case
that.
Anybody was afraid that you were misquoting her or not doing justice to how she really sounds.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Okay. So we're talking about Corrine Jean-Pierre and responding to the president, and can he handle another grueling campaign? And she says, we're about trying to deliver for the American people and how we're going to make their lives better. That's what this president talks about. That's his focus. And that's what we're going to continue to focus on. What I can say is the president has repeatedly said that he plans to run in 2024. And I'm going to have to leave it there. All I can say is that the president intends to do what the president plans to do. This is great stuff. It's just amazing.
Well, okay. Biden's been there for so many crucial times in history. He marched with Martin Luther King. He visited Nelson Mandela. He signed the Declaration of Independence, of course. So,
yes, he did. Yes.
So if he says he's going to run in 2024, he's going to run in 2024. You can take that to the bank, Jim.
Well, he's taking something to the bank. So now here's another interview. Peter Ducey asks her, how does raising taxes on corporations reduce inflation? And she said, well, you know, we have talked about this past year about making sure that the wealthiest among us are paying their fair share. And that is important to do. And that is something that, you know, the president has been working on every day when we talk about inflation and lowering costs. And so it's very important that, you know, as we're seeing costs rise, as we're talking about how to, you know, build an America that's safe, that's equal for everyone, and that doesn't leave anyone behind, that is an important part of that as well. And when asked about the stock market dying, her response was, I don't even know what she just said. But when she was asked about the stock market dying, her response was, we do not, that's not something we keep an eye on every day. Really? My mother-in-law read the Wall Street Journal every day and read the page because she had investments. That's not something we keep an eye on every day? Holy cow! Oh, man, to quote another Yankee.
Well, and of course, her answer to the question is it doesn't bring down inflation, but that's not our agenda.
No, it doesn't. But it's, you know, just talk, and you know, just say a bunch of meaningless stuff.
And hope people forgot the fact and didn't notice the fact that you weren't answering the question.
Yeah. When asked if the Biden administration was aware that some of the oil was going overseas, she said, the oil companies decide what, you know, we cannot control what oil companies do with their oil.
Unless there are American oil companies that are being shut down and curtailed, we can sure control that, can't we?
Well, we can do that. We can control what they give to Americans, but we can't control what they give to foreign powers.
Yeah.
Ed O'Keefe, another reporter, asked, what would you say to critics of this administration's immigration policy and medical officials who say Title 42 is junk science? Even Democrats say political considerations are guiding this administration's border policies. Her answer, I'm not going to get into or respond to gossip. That's not something we're going to do.
It is her job to get into that kind of stuff.
You know, at some point I'm expecting to hear her say, I'm rubber and you're glue. Everything you say bounces off of me and sticks to you.
Yeah, well, it's about grade school level, except I don't mean to insult grade schoolers. They're a lot smarter than that.
Yeah, that's an insult to third graders everywhere.
It is. It really, truly is.
Oh, man. So these are people in high places. These are people representing the White House. Oh, my goodness. We're in a heap of trouble, Bob.
Yeah, that cannot be denied.
I think you've nailed it. I think there is something behind the scenes. These goofballs that we see, that just sounds so disrespectful, but my goodness, I'd rather have Yogi Berra and the Swedish chef than the people that are in power right now. And
I'd rather have a piece of seaweed than the people in power right now.
Well, you know, you can buy that at Costco, so it is available. It is troubling, and I think you're right. I think that there are people in power behind the scenes whose names we don't know, whose faces we don't see, and they are pulling strings. I think that is true.
I think we know some of them. I certainly think Bernie Sanders is one, but yes, there's probably a lot whose names we don't even know. And I believe Barack Obama is behind a lot of it, too.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Okay.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.